Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. What does sustainable living mean? How can we manage our societal resources to reap the common benefits that the Earth provides without compromising future generations and the health of the ecosystems we rely on? How can we live with a mindset of sustainability in a society that promotes unlimited economic growth despite limited resources? My next guest is the perfect person to ask these kinds of conflicting questions. John Jordanego is the principal restoration economist, ecologist, and CEO of Economic Restoration. He has 3 decades of experience and research in business, economics, ecology, and conservation. John will be the featured speaker at the Southern Oregon Climate Action Now's February meeting at the Medford Public Library on Tuesday, February 25th at 6 p.m. His talk will offer insights into sustainable economies and explore the dynamic relationship between 3 governing components of highly complex systems: diversity, energy, and trade. John, welcome to the Exchange.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Mike.
Well, before we get to your provocative talk coming up at the Medford Library, help me understand how you got interested in economics and ecological sustainability, which seemed to conflict throughout history in our capitalist society. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in South San Francisco, and one of the first things I remember as a kid along these realms was smashing aluminum cans back when it was allowed to smash aluminum cans to earn money at my dad's request. We would go down and drop off cans and get paid directly for the value of those cans. But it was attending business school or going to business school in the early 90s, I twisted the arm of our director to allow me to get a minor in ecology. And that's when this idea first struck that there was some fundamental universal kind of agreement between how our ecosystems and our economies are structured.
Well, most of us need an explanation of what ecology means. Here you are pursuing a career in it.
Good question. You know, a lot of us, we go on a hike in the woods, whether it be the Siskiyou Mountain Range or the down in the Redwoods or wherever it might be, when you're walking through the forest, you are immersed in an ecosystem. It is all of the living entities that survived there that have evolved over hundreds of millions of years in a very specific environmental context. The amount of rain that falls there, the nutrients that cycle through the ground, all those things together give rise to very unique ecosystems all around the Earth. And there are probably, depending on how you slice it up, thousands of different ecosystems on this Earth.
Our economy is an ecosystem, is it not?
We often refer to our economy as an ecosystem. And I find that interesting because language is powerful. And as humans, we evolved, obviously, from nature, and we also evolved our economies. We might say, as a reflection of our experience in nature. So it's no surprise that we would use words such as ecosystem to describe the great interactions, the necessary interactions between so many things, from businesses and industries to social groups, nonprofit organizations, and different government levels, competition and collaboration, to describe how we immerse ourselves in our economy.
Oh, we kind of know what a natural ecosystem is, but how would you define or how would you describe an economic ecosystem?
An economic ecosystem. So maybe an economy that kind of operates on the rules of nature, if you will. Well, one of the first things that we have to realize is the scale at which our economies exist. We've been doing a lot in this world. And I remember in the early 90s in business school, our business teachers professing that it would be a great thing to expand the global market economy without realizing or even asking the question that what is the right scale for an economy to exist? What's the natural geography of humans, if you will? And what ecosystems tell us perhaps more clearly than anything else is that our economies, diversity, energy, and trade, as you mentioned earlier, these really fundamental components, should be optimized at local and regional scales, not national and global scales. So we can think of an economy as the space in which we live, our cities and counties within a specific watershed, And all of the resources that are derived there and cycled throughout that watershed area or that region, and the fate of those materials. It's everything. Our economies connect everybody in our region, in our communities, and everybody on the planet. We can't ignore that. We can't go anywhere or do anything without experiencing our economy.
Well, we have a fundamental problem with all three of those. The current administration does not value diversity. Energy is not sustainable, and the sustainable energy resources that we have invested in, we're pulling out of. And then, of course, trade, and we have all of these various different attacks on our trade partners. So what do we do about that? How do we think about that?
That is going to be the central focus of the talk coming up here for SOCAN. There are one of my favorite things to do, that I do a lot of treks and talks around the globe, mostly across the U.S., and is to compile a tool chest, if you will, of policies and programs that are used in various ways to strengthen and build our local and regional economies, the reliable policies and program tools. And so there is a great diversity of those. And, you know, when I think about what the current administration, and I would say all administrations going back to the 1970s and perhaps earlier, it has been a concerted effort to focus our economies at a global scale. And so this is perhaps not a challenge that divides the left and the right. Which is, you know, if anybody listens to the news these days, there's a lot of division that is sown in our news world. But one of the amazing things that I realized speaking to a variety of conservative and liberal and other audiences around the U.S. is when we think about our economies and the benefits of local and regional economies, the benefits derived from those really speak well to values across the political spectrum. And we might take a different look at things like tariffs and how they've been used in the past and how we might use them differently in the future to, instead of aiming our economic progress towards the global marketplace, which has a profound degradation on economic diversity and hence the diversity of opportunities for a diversity of people, but how we might focus those to maximize or increase diversity and productivity in opportunities for people at local and regional scales.
My guest is John Jordanago. He is the principal restoration economist, ecologist, and CEO of Economic Restoration. He has 3 decades of experience and research in business, economics, ecology, and conservation. John will be the featured speaker at Southern Oregon Climate Action Now's monthly meeting at the Medford Public Library on Tuesday, February 25th at 6 p.m., So, John, what can nature teach us about economics and sustainability?
There is more to be gained from nature in terms of insights, rules, and principles on our economies than anything we could ever gain from Congress, from our administrations, and from walking the halls of a campus. It's profound. You know, I think we've just scratched the surface of knowledge. Some of the most compelling things is how nature, as a starting point, how nature manages energy, right? The greatest amount of energy and what we describe as biomass, that's a conversion of energy into biologically useful products. Most of that occurs at very local scales, and very little of that actually goes beyond an economic or an ecological regional boundary. And very little of that energy makes its way up all the way to final consumers, or what we say in an ecological world is top predators. And so there's these fundamental trade rules that most of our production and wealth accumulates at the bottom of what I like to refer to as a balanced trade pyramid. This would be our agricultural and our extractive industries, our recycling industries, and renewable energy. Those are all at the bottom of the trade pyramid, together with manufacturing and manufacturing with recycled products. But where our global trade policies have gotten us in the past 40 or 50 years is not a stable pyramid, is more of a balloon. And I'll talk about that concept more on the 25th, where most of our productivity is focused in non-productive industries, finance, IT, technology, government services, close to 83% of it, with more foreign trade, actually kind of fueling this whole thing, all dependent upon pumping non-renewable energies into our balloon, if you will, our balloon economy to keep it afloat.
Well, it's interesting.
Nature teaches that's not a sustainable model.
It's interesting because we as consumers, and you call us the top predators, we love our technology, and we love it so much that it is now requiring much more energy production to sustain our consuming of technology. And so how do we manage the energy that's needed? Where do we get the raw materials to produce that energy?
Yeah, that is the million-dollar question, and nature holds a lot of lessons for us there. And one of those is the idea of an endogenous economy. That is, the energy we consume and the resources that we consume are derived from within the system. That is not at all how it's currently managed. But nature is nearly 100% endogenous. The farther you get away from a point of consumption, as you're walking away from the redwoods all the way east to the eastern United States, the far less likely you're going to find any evidence from the redwoods. With each step you get away from the redwoods, the chance you find any evidence of that decreases substantially. So it's an endogenous system. You produce and consume locally. So with energy, no economy in the future is going to be able to maintain the whatever desires its populace has, its citizens, without securing local energy resources. And you can think of that as energy neutrality or an endogenous energy system where you scale your economy to meet what you have available via energy. That sort of a system requires a lot of innovation. Interestingly, it requires a lot of increase in business diversity at the bottom of that pyramid we discussed in the agricultural and extractive and manufacturing industries. Diversity, nature teaches, allows us to increase our productivity with limited energy. And we'll discuss that a little bit as well on the 25th and at Bloomsbury as well on March 3rd for a deep dive into this diversity across ecological and economic systems.
Well, we have about 2 minutes left, and the challenge seems to me to be, how much do we care about the generations who will inherit this mess that we're making?
That's a profound question. In 2 minutes, my gosh, I believe it is our genetic directive as a species, as it is for every species, to survive. And so when we realize that our survival depends on maintaining and restoring the health of the ecosystems that give rise to us, it becomes deeply, we become deeply bound to this idea of conservation and restoration. And to where when we ask each other, why do we do what we do as consumers, as planners, as conservationists, without knowing whether we can even have change within our lifetimes, it's because of this genetic directive. We must survive as a species. And everything we do is important. My hopes with this book and with these talks is help to provide a more sound framework so that all the actions we take as economists, conservationists, regional planners, consumers, have the greatest possible impact on the future sustainability of our economies and our planets. And that really was the inspiration for this book.
And you mentioned the book. What's the name of the book?
Well, it is quite simply Ecosystems as Models for Restoring Our Economies to a Sustainable State.
Okay, well, unfortunately, we're out of time for today's exchange. So thank you, John.
You're welcome. I appreciate your time.
My guest was John Jordanengo. He's the principal restoration economist, ecologist, and CEO of Economic Restoration. John will be the featured speaker at Southern Oregon Climate Action Now's monthly general meeting at the Medford Public Library on Tuesday, February 25th at 6 p.m.